All right. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you. Welcome to week number two in our series that we are calling I Want to Believe. But, and so glad to have you guys here and thankful for all those who are watching online today. Come on, Elevate City. Can we just welcome all those who are watching online with us today? Come on, through the power of technology. Thankful. And we began video messaging, for those that don't know, and off to a great start. A lot of great feedback from many of you last week and just being able to watch and share it. And so we love hearing that. And James did a great job. And so something that we are just growing in around here that we're excited about. Hey, I want to let you know of something that's coming up on October the 28th, our next Elevate City night. If you've never been a part of that night, man, I just encourage you to be a part of that night. But it's our time that we are doing baptisms that night. And we have seen, man, just a ton of people give their hearts to the Lord over the last 5 weeks. We saw just last week alone and through all three of our services, 17 people that made decisions for Christ just last Sunday. That's a total of 78 people in 5 weeks, everybody. Yeah, come on. We ought to give God a better hand. Amen? It's incredible. So to God be the glory. And so our encouragement is take the next step. And here's what we know and what Jesus teaches us so well is baptism doesn't save us, but it just shows that we're saved. And so when we get baptized, man, it's going public with our decision for Christ. It's letting all the world know that, man, Jesus is the Lord of our life. And so baptism is something that Jesus made real simple for us to understand. And the significance of when you go in the water and come up is powerful, because when you go down in the water, man, that's representing that old life, those old ways. But when you come up out of that water, it represents the new life that's in Christ. And so we've already got many people signing up to get baptized, and also want to invite you to, if it's something that you did maybe when you were younger and you want to do that again, you absolutely can do that. And so you can either sign up on the app and or online, do it that way, or just straight out these doors to my right. Our next steps area, our team will be out there in our kiosk area, and so we can help you get signed up there or answer any other questions. It's going to be a powerful night, and just want to encourage you, take next steps. Amen? And so let's get into the message today. We had a great time in our first service this morning, and I really believe this series is just powerful. I got to tell you, I've just been enjoying just putting this together and working through this. And this week's message really did something to my heart, and just really specifically, personally, my walk with God challenged me and continues to challenge me in such a way. And so I want to start off in Ephesians chapter 1, because this is really our theme verse for this series. And I'd love for you to read it with me. So y'all ready, everybody? All right, let's do this together. Here we go. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And so really, this series is the whole goal of this is that we would know him better. And so we're tackling, I think, some difficult subjects in this and talking about some sensitive things over the next few weeks as well. And but ultimately, it's to bring us closer into a relationship with God, to push us maybe to a place that we've never been with him. And I just love this part that as we spoke that scripture where it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, I like that, may be enlightened. In other words, we all see very differently based upon the experiences that we've had to this point. For some of us, different relational experiences. For some of us, different religious type of experiences that we have had. And even hurts and wounds. And that filter is your heart. And so that's what that verse is talking about. But then I love the last part of this verse that talks about the ultimate. And that's to have a glorious inheritance. How many want to leave a legacy that goes beyond you? That whenever your time is that you go, that it doesn't just stop with you and nobody else, but that your life continues to have meaning and impact beyond you. And so a glorious inheritance, in other words, is saying that you get to live your life fulfilled knowing that your life matters. And so I don't know about you, but I want to know that my life matters, that I'm making a difference with my life. And so for some, there's kind of this ceiling or even this hurdle that holds people back from sometimes believing in God. Sometimes it's hurt, sometimes it's pain. Sometimes it's not even people necessarily rejecting God, as it is that that some just have a distorted view of who God is. And that's why I love messages like this today, because I truly believe this can be a game changer for a lot of us that may have found ourselves in a place that we're struggling in our relationship with God. Maybe you're struggling with consistency in your relationship with God. And I just encourage you, God has a rhythm, he has a flow, and there truly is a place of consistency that you can have in your walk with God. And so I want to just kind of lay this out today, but before I do that, I want to just review a little bit, because last Sunday, we talked on the subject of on-demand God, and I enjoyed talking about this last week, because we are in what we called an on-demand generation, and we want an on-demand God, and the problem is, though, then the question that we worked with is man, when we find ourselves in a place that when God doesn't do what I want him to do, many people come to a place that they quit serving God. Or, well, I'm just not going to believe. He's not answering my prayer. He's not responding to me. And so we learned last week that he's not some celestial sugar daddy, all right? And he's not some, you know, genie or a spiritual slot machine. Are you with me? That he is a God of relationship, that he is a God that has his ways, that his ways are higher and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And so we learned that last week. And if you missed it, make sure you go back and you watch it. Then next week, everybody say next week. My wife is going to be up here on the stage. It'll be great to have her back up here ministering and preaching. And so she's going to talk on maybe my favorite subject of the whole series. And she gets to do it. It's called Goosebump God is what we're titling it. And here's the question that she'll be working with. And that's this, that, man, I want to believe in God, but that's the whole series name itself, because there's a lot of reasons why people don't believe in God. And so, but I want to believe in God, but I can't feel him. I want to believe in God, but I go to church, but I can't feel him. So how am I going to believe in a God that I can't feel? And so I'm just telling you, you won't want to miss next week. And then the final week is, we're just calling it on the subject, Heartless God. And I think this is one of the biggest obstacles for people in today's culture and world, that I want to believe in God, but it just seems like he doesn't care. I want to believe in God, but man, what's up with all these mass shootings and innocent people dying and these natural disasters? And, you know, I just want to encourage us, church, as God's people, the massive hurricane that hit in Florida, Hurricane Michael, and just to pray for all those in Florida. And I'm so glad that we're a part of an organization called ARC, and just so many churches rallying around to help so many people. And Convoy of Hope is something that we give into as well. Incredible when it comes to just reaching people during those times. But man, why does innocent people die? Why does bad things happen to good people? And so that's the last week of this series. And I'm just telling you, you don't want to miss it, all right? But today I want to talk to you on the subject of just killjoy God. That, man, I want to follow God, but what's up with all these rules, man? Like, what's up? It just seems hard to follow God. I just want to have fun. I just want to do life my way. I don't want to be told how to live. Let me just do what I want to do. And honestly, I had this view growing up as a boy. I grew up in church, but I had a distorted view of God. I knew religion real well, but didn't really know the relationship side of Jesus real well. And so I was the kind of kid growing up as a kid and a teenager and into a young man. I was running down to the altar. We had what was called back in the day, man, the altars are open. And so when the altars are open, man, you run, and man, you kind of get saved again. And when they asked if you want to get saved, my hand was up every Sunday because I didn't want to go to hell. And so I was just every week, yes, God, I want to get saved again. I want to get saved again. And so I just didn't have a right understanding of God's love and his forgiveness for my life. I had a form of it, but I really didn't understand. I didn't have the relational side down. And that's part of what we're going to talk about even here today. And I also, I struggled a lot because I looked at a lot of Christians, and I didn't really like Christians either. I don't know if I can say that, but I did. And so, and you know, they were weird to me. They were boring. They were some even judgmental. And so, nonetheless, I just struggled in that place. But today, I want to talk to you about really the good news of Jesus, but the bad news of religion. And when you hear the word religion, I want to make sure that I give you total clarity of what that is and what it's not. Because I realize it's a term that's used a lot, but maybe we don't understand what it means or its context. And so religion, when you hear that word religion, religious, it's not Christianity, all right? When I say religion, I'm talking about man-made rules to try and to please God, all right? And so I want to get to talk about the bad news, but then we're going to get to the good news, all right? So you ready? Drop this first one down if you're following along in our notes. And that is this, that religion focuses on the external rather than focusing on the internal. I'm going to break that down in just a second. But religion focuses on the external instead rather than focusing on the internal. This is a subject, that Jesus is extremely passionate about. Matthew 23, 25, Jesus is talking to you. He said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Woo, Jesus calling them out, didn't he? He said, "You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." In other words, that you are putting on this religious, just this religious show on the outside, but it doesn't match up with what's going on the inside of your heart. You're putting on this nice show and for all to see, but really on the inside, man, you're messed up. There's a lot of issues going on. And can I just say this, that we've just always dreamed of a church, man, where you could just come in and not have to wear the mask, but take the mask off. And if your week just sucked, then it sucked, all right? Yes, I said that in church, all right? Relax, all right? Because that's the way some of our weeks are. Life is hard sometimes, and it feels that way. So might as well just say what it is, because it is. And so so we just dreamed of a church that you could come in, and man, if it's a struggle, we tell this to our dream team as well. Man, go to one of the leaders, our pastors. Man, let's pray through this. Let's get through it today so we can focus on what God wants to do in their life and through people. But we just dreamed of that. But the other part of this that we dreamed of is with our small groups. And that's why I love our small groups, because it's real people with real issues. Anybody got some real issues in your life? Yeah, we all got those things. So it's a place that we can gather together and begin to really just get honest with what's going on within us. Because we're only as sick as our secret. And if you're the only one that knows what's going on in your life, it's a dangerous place to live. And that's why I love small groups, where we have the opportunity to work that stuff out and to get honest and to get help. And I've often found that once I open up and I talk about my struggles, somebody else has been through it or they're going through it right now. And I'm just telling it's the power of small groups. Every week I'm seeing it happen, just demonstrated. And I'm leading two different small groups right now, and I love it. I just love it because I love what God's doing relationally with us in it. And we just need each other. We need each other. Everybody say, we're better together. And then Jesus goes on in verse 26. He said, "Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." Religion focuses on the external rather than the internal. And I think what people wrongly assume about God is, and this is part of this religious facade that we get oftentimes from man that he is taught and not God, is that here is this holy God and here's unholy me. How am I going to be able to connect with this holy God when I'm so unholy, when I got all these issues? And unholy people trying to, in other words, close the gap between a holy God with just our human effort, with our religious acts. We try to close the gap between our sinfulness and God's holiness by trying to do religious things. And well, if I do this, and if I don't do that, and if I don't go here, but I go here, and I stop doing this, and I stop doing that, but I'll do this. And can't you see how it can become very exhausting? Because there's nothing good. The Bible said there's no flesh that's going to glory in his presence. Nothing good that's within us. Well, if I go to church more and I quit smoking and I stop drinking and I don't hang with that person, maybe if I do all these things, maybe God will accept me. Maybe I'll be right with God. And we try to close the gap with human effort. And here's the key. It's not going to work that way. It's not going to work that way. I'd even go as far to say this too. I've often found in my relationship with God, and I just want you to think about this. When my relationship with God is strong, when my vertical things are going well here, I find that relationships with people go well. But I find when there's a struggle here, there's usually a struggle with people, and I'm disconnected. That's why, man, God's trying to bring us closer and closer. John the Baptist said it better in John 3:30, that Jesus would become greater and greater in my life, and that I would become less and less. That I want to be more like him, and just less of me all around. Amen. And I would even go as far to say it even this way, that when you don't have a right view of God and you don't have a clear understanding of his love and his forgiveness, and you feel like, man, I gotta work my way into God's grace again. I gotta work my way into his forgiveness. We in turn make people try to earn forgiveness from us too. And it's quiet because it's true. And so what I'm trying to help us with today is if we will get a right focus of God and his forgiveness. The Bible, Jesus said, freely I have given, so freely give. Freely he's given forgiveness to us, and he wants us to do the same with people. And so we've got to get a right view of God. But Jesus said it this way. He said, but you can't do it by doing what the Pharisees are doing. You can't do life that way. They put on this show. They do these loud prayers for all to see. They're essentially just showing off, trying to look holy. They're wearing all these big fancy robes. They're taking advantage of people. They're heaping all these laws on people. It's messing people up. Because why? It's focused on the external rather than focusing on the heart, the internal. It's interesting, even in our Bibles, when we go back into the Old Testament after the leadership time of Ezra, Nehemiah and Ezra, that there was a place where the religious leaders sat and noticed that the people were continuing to break the law. And so because they broke the law, they're in bondage. And it was interesting in this time because their response and their solution, well, if they're breaking the laws, we need to add more laws. That's the only way to fix it. We're going to add more laws. We're going to make sure it's safe. We've got to protect the Torah, which the Torah was the first five books of the Bible. And so we need to make sure that nobody else breaks the law. And so they come up with these man-made laws. In fact, over 600 of these laws. I mean, I remember being in Bible college and studying this out, and man, I was like, Lord have mercy. And it's just fun every once in a while just to kind of go through and read because I'm thinking, man, I'm glad I'm free of that. I'm glad I don't have to work. You know, my God, I can, over 600. I can barely remember my own name sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? And so, but this is why Jesus was so passionate. And I love this about our Savior, because like in these portions of Scripture, you just see, man, just this urgency, but just this fierceness of his love. And he said here in verse 3 and 4, same chapter, he said, don't follow the example of the Pharisees, for they don't practice what they teach. Mm-hmm. Talk to us, Jesus, all right? He's preaching good, isn't he? He goes on to say, check it out. Here's what religion does. This is what he's trying to get across. He's saying, they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Religion, its definition is simply this: it crushes people. It tries to get us into a place constantly in our mind, man, I got to work to get God's forgiveness. I got to do this. I got to do that. If you've ever thought, listen to me, that there are too many rules and it's too hard to follow God, hear me this morning. That is not a reflection of the God that we serve. It is not the heart of the God of the Bible that we serve. This is what people added to what God had already established. And you and I need to remember something this morning, that, remember this, killjoy God does not exist. Killjoy God does not exist. The laws that God established were not there to confine us. Honestly, they were there to help give us freedom in our life, to live the life that he wants us to live. And so I'm ready to share some good news with you. You ready for some good news? That was pretty weak. All right, let's try it again. You ready for some good news? Oh, that's better, church. Here we go. Romans chapter 3. We're going to hang here. It says this, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight, look at this, by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Important to see that. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness, look at this, is given, say this last part with me, through faith in Jesus Christ to some that believe, some, a few, all who believe. Everybody that comes into a relationship with Jesus. So here's what we're learning. Number one, chop this down. You cannot earn God's acceptance by obeying the law. No matter how hard you try, no matter how many good works that you do, no matter how holy you try to be or to act, you cannot earn God's acceptance by obeying the law. Verse 20, same chapter. We're just going to do a little review now from this. It says, therefore now no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Righteous or righteousness literally just means to be in right standing with God, that he has declared us righteous, all right? So it doesn't matter what church you go to. Again, it doesn't matter how hard you try or how holy you act. You can never be good enough to please God by your works. Then you would ask probably the question, then why in the world, Pastor, is the law even there? Great question. I'm glad you asked. Number two, here we go. It says this, that, and here's the point I want to make, that the purpose of the law, here it is to show you and I our need of a Savior. That's why it's there. Verse 20 and 21 again, it says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. And so there's a common belief today in culture that, man, I'm a good person. Like, I'm good, man. Like, it's all good. And this is why I truly believe the law is important for us, because it shows that we are all sinners, that we all fall short. But Kyle, oh, man, you got the wrong guy. Man, I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a bad person. But compared to the standards of God, we all fall short. One of my favorite evangelists that's out there, he does some amazing just kind of street witnessing, and he does a lot of it in the heart of L.A. His name is Ray Comfort. Wrote a great book many years ago. I think you can still get it. It's a great book, though, called Hell's Best Kept Secret. So good. And he'll go on the street, and he does a lot of his ministry. Actually, who works with him is Kirk Cameron. Y'all remember Kirk Cameron? All right, Growing Pains. Come on, somebody. Anybody remember some Growing Pains? Oh, yeah, come on. And so Kirk Cameron did a lot of ministry with him. But they go on the street, man. They witness, and they get people, you know, saved, and then help get those saved people connected in local churches in the area. I mean, it's just a phenomenal thing. But he has an illustration within this that is just, in my opinion, powerful. And so I'm going to use that illustration on us today, all right? And we're going to try this out together, because here's what the law does. It shows you and I the need of a Savior, that we need saving. And so what I need you to do is help me this morning. Y'all ready to help me just a little bit? So I need your participation, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, he needs our help this morning. Come on, just let him know, needs our help, all right? All right, so I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and if this is you and you say, yep, that's me, did it, just raise your hand where you're at, all right? Come on, how many have ever told a lie this morning? Raise your hand where you're at. Come on, if you ain't raising your hand, you're lying, all right? I'm just telling you that right now. You're lying. Put it back down, all right? How many have ever stolen something before? I have. Yeah, all right, quite a bit of us. All right, here's a big one, all right? You may not want to put it real high, but you can. I have, and so it's going to be up there. How many have ever lusted before? Yeah, I think all of us have. So here's what I want to show you is a couple of things. First is the standard of God is above our standard, all right? The Bible says, Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, if you even look upon a woman with lust in your heart, then you've committed adultery. God's standards are higher than our standards. So, with your hands being raised by your own admission this morning, we are lying, thieving adulterers in here today. Woo! That sounds like a big sinner to me. And here's why it's important. So just relax. All right? When we go around life saying, well, I'm not a bad person, then here's what happens is you don't recognize the need for the forgiveness and receiving the goodness of God in your life. And every one of us are in need of that forgiveness. Every one of us are in need of experiencing the goodness of our Father. Are you with me today, everybody? And it's so important, and the heart of God for us. And so here's what's important, and here's what I want to draw out of this. Jot this down, that I think this is incredible that we get this and see this, is that until you see yourself as a sinner, you won't see your need for a Savior. You and I have to come to grips and to the realization that we just stink. There's a lot of things we stink at. But here's the great thing, that he is so awesome. And in his perfection, God sent the greatest gift, his son Jesus, to earth, who was fully God, yet fully man, who was in all points tempted, Hebrews tells us, but it was yet without sin. So there's nothing that you're facing or you will ever face that God has not walked through and defeated and overcome for you and me. Come on, somebody. That's a great reason to say a good amen today. I'm thankful that I rest in knowing that whatever I'm facing, it's nothing new. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And so therefore, there is a way out of this situation. Whatever adversity, whatever challenge you're facing is never too great for the power of our God. Our God is greater. And we have to rest in knowing that his love and his power truly is greater. And that's the good news of the gospel. It's that you can't perform your way to God. And sometimes we try to impress, and we do that even with people. Can I just tell you, God set me free years ago of just this performance mentality. And I'm so glad that I had to preach a certain way. And if I didn't preach a certain way, people wouldn't like me until God said, who cares? You be who I made you to be, and don't you worry about anybody else. Be you. That's why I love that song we sang this morning. I am who he says I am. And I'm telling you, you're an original. All right, you're not a copy. God knew exactly what he was doing when he created you. And you need to be encouraged by that today. But all of us have sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. It's the law that shows us that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite verses, should be one of yours too. So this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Come on, the old life is gone, but the new life has begun. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the new life. That when he looks at you and he looks at me, he's not looking at our past, our last night. He's looking today at this moment, the future that he's building for us. And he wants us to draw as close as we can to him. Because here's what I know. I've come to understand I'll never be good enough. I'm just not. That's why I need his grace. That's why I need his help. That's why I need his forgiveness. That's why I need his strength. I'll keep going. That's why I need his healing. That's why I need his wisdom. Anybody understand what I'm talking about today? I need all of Jesus and less of me. So our first thought was you cannot earn God's acceptance by obeying the law. The second point was the purpose of the law is to show your need of a Savior. And here's the third thing this morning, that being right with God comes by faith in Christ alone. Everybody shout faith. The way we are made right with God is not by our religious works. It's not by trying harder. It's by trusting in the perfect work of Jesus Christ and in him alone. Back in Romans 3, it says this, the righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It doesn't matter. Don't let the devil try to trip you up with this. It doesn't matter how bad your past is. Doesn't matter what your present's like. I'm telling you, God can change us from the inside out right here this morning. One decision, one word from God changes it all. One word. And when you put your faith in Jesus, your sins are forgiven and you and I are made new. That old life is gone. And in fact, when you choose Jesus, man, you don't want that stuff, that old life anymore. Because you realize, man, this ain't working. Like, and at times I've thought about quitting, all the people that are honest and thought about quitting, come on, raise your hand, here we go. Yeah, most of us, all right? And if you haven't, you should probably be up here, not me, all right? And so those times that I've thought about quitting, I thought, man, what am I going back to? Mess? Junk? Give me a break. No, the life that God has and the purpose that he has will always prevail if we don't quit, if we don't give up. Amen? And I'll just tell you this all day long, Elevate City. You don't need religion. You need Jesus and him alone. I'm going to say it again. You don't need religion. You need Jesus and him alone in your life. One of my favorite moments in Scripture, just want you to imagine with me this morning, Jesus on the cross. And he's hanging there being nailed and crucified for us. He's got two thieves on each side of him. One of them is just criticizing and mocking Jesus while the other is saying to Jesus in a very heartfelt way, think about this, in their dying moments, this man looks to Jesus and says, just remember me. Remember me. Here's what the Bible doesn't say happened. Jesus didn't look at him and said, well, let me think about it. Here's a few things you need to do first. The man's dying. He's lived his entire life as a criminal, choosing sin over God until that last few moments of his life, he realized this is the Savior of the world. And I want you to think about the radical love that Jesus, all he said, his response back when that criminal said, just remember me. Man, remember me, Jesus. He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. That's the love of a father. The love of a father just says, come on, come on. I'm not worried about what happened. I know your heart. I know you love me. Come on. Today, you're going to enter into paradise with me. I just want you to get that picture of the love of God in your heart and your mind, because you need to see him as that, that God takes his perfection. He takes his perfection, and here's what he does. He covers us. It's like wearing a robe or putting on a jacket. Some of us, we had to break out the jackets this week. Lord, have mercy. How many had to turn on the furnace like me and was real upset about it? Yes, yes, yes. I refuse. I didn't wear a jacket this morning. I'm struggling with it, so just pray for me. But it's like that's exactly what Jesus is doing with his perfection. He's placing upon you and me. When we come into that relationship, he places his perfection on you and I. And it's incredible to see. And when we and because we are forgiven, then God sees us. He doesn't see our sins anymore. He sees the righteousness of Christ that's now covering us. Religion, church, is all about performance. Christianity is all about the perfect work of Jesus. Religion is all about what I have to do, while Christianity is all about what Jesus did. Not only did he die on the cross, but he rose again. We serve a God who's alive and well and not dead. Amen? We are forgiven. We're in that place that we have to understand. Religion says, if I try harder, maybe God will love me. But Christianity says, because God loves me, I'm accepted. And I choose to obey. Religion has, in my opinion, has complicated, has messed people up for so long. And as I was just praying even over this message today, I really believe if we can get a right understanding of the heart of our God and who he is, man, this will set you free. For some of us, we are struggling back and forth with our relationship with God because we've had a wrong view of him. The love of a father is real. And I think sometimes what hurts us is we struggle sometimes looking at him as that because of sometimes even what our earthly fathers have done to us. And it messes with us. We think, man, how can he be loving when this is my experience of a father? But you need to understand this morning that he is a true father that not only laid his life down for you, but loves you and has secured eternity being our home for those that have a relationship with him. And we may have disappointments in this life, and we will. But I'm telling you, time and time again, Jesus will never fail you. People will disappoint you. People will hurt you. People will let you down. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Too many times we allow what somebody does to us to dictate whether we're going to stay hot in our relationship with God or not. And I'm telling you this, some of the lukewarm stuff, man, we've got to be careful with. Sin's not our friend, everybody. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. It's not our friend. And that's why God sent his son to free us from that. And it says this in John 14, if you love me, keep my commands. And this verse is really hard if we just have a religious view of God, because we look at this verse and think, whoo-hoo, all those commands. But when you have a relational view of who God is, not religion, but a relationship with God, that you choose, that, man, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to love him. You look at that verse and you see the heart of God much different, because I think it reads like this. If you love me, you'll do what I tell you. If you love me, and you'll follow me. So it's not hard. It becomes simple. It becomes a desire. It becomes something you want to do, not you have to do. Are you with me, everybody? And there's, you know, I think about this, I'll say it this way. When I married Bethany over 11 years ago, I made a commitment to my wife to stay faithful to her as long as we both shall live, and her to me as well. That's the rule. That's the law. For somebody to say, well, man, that's kind of limiting, isn't it? Doesn't sound like a lot of fun. You got to stay married to one person all your life. But let me tell you what it does is that keeps me in the blessings of a faithful marriage that is far more richer than any forbidden fruit. And the blessings of staying within the boundaries of marriage are greater. Why? Because of love. The power of love. That's why I jot this down. Religion complicates with laws, but Jesus simplifies with love. They asked Jesus, an expert in the law, said, what's the greatest commandment? They're trying to trip him up. And I'd love to have been in this moment with Jesus and see the simple response. He said, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he said, the second is love your neighbor. So it all comes down, this whole thing, Christianity, Christ, all comes down to the first and greatest commandment is love. Notice Jesus didn't say, well, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got, no. Jesus summed it all up in one thing. Love God and love people. Make a difference. How many are thankful for the love of Jesus? Amen? That's the calling for all of us. Yeah, you can give God a hand. I love it. Religion complicates with laws. Jesus simplifies. And I love one last moment of scripture I'll just share with you. There was an adulterous woman that was caught in her sin. The Bible says she was caught in the act of adultery. And the religious people of that day came to Jesus and said, the law tells us, Jesus, that she should be stoned and she has to die. What say you, Jesus? Jesus does something, I think, pretty cool. We don't know exactly what it was written, but he kneels down. As he kneels down, he writes in the sand. Now, scholars and theologians try to guess what that was. No, but none of us really know. But they guess, some of the guesses were that he was maybe writing some of the sins of those that stood before this woman. And he gets back up and he makes a statement to all who are standing there accusing this woman, ready to kill her for her sin. And he said, you that are standing out here who have no sin, cast the first stone. And one by one, they left. They left. So there was nobody left. And Jesus looked at the woman and he said, woman, where are your accusers? Where are those who condemn you? And she said, sir, there are none. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I want you just to think about the weight of that. What that woman experienced was true love, true forgiveness. We don't hear of anything else after her life and that story. But I gotta believe her life was changed and impacted. Why? Because of love. Because of forgiveness. And I want to encourage you this morning that you are clothed in Christ, that you are accepted, everybody. You are accepted. Because I have been loved, I then choose to follow him. Religion complicates what God has made simple. Religion complicates with laws. Jesus simplifies with love. Come on, would you bow your head right where you're at? I want to pray. And just where you're at this morning, man, there's just such a great presence of God's Spirit in here today. Just right where you're at in your lap, would you just open up your hand, just right where you're at. Just right where you're at. There you go. There you go. I said, man, what are we doing? Here's what this is. This is just saying, God, you can have it all. You can have it all right here in this moment. I just give everything to you. With hands open right now, I give my life to you. I surrender all that I am. For some of us, you need to receive the incredible love of God today. Some for the first time. For some, maybe you need to recommit your life because it's just like you've been banging your head on a wall and you've been struggling, but you're realizing he loves me. He loves you. Quit telling yourself you've got to work and do that and do this. No.
Just receive right now. Just receive. That's all he wants from you and I, is to receive the incredibleness of his love and his forgiveness. I said, Pastor, but you don't know what I did this week. You don't know what happened to me last night, my decision. I'm not worried about it, neither is God. You focus on this moment. He's the God that makes all things new. With every head bowed right here, I want to give you an opportunity on the count of three. If you say, man, Kyle, that's me. I need to receive that today. Or for somebody, you say, man, I need to come back into a right relationship with God. I've been trying to do it that way. I realize I can't do it this way any longer. I need to submit and just surrender fully to God. Come on, if that's you, I want you to be honest and slip up your hand. One, two, three, real high, real high, real high. Yeah, hands all over. Incredible. Awesome, guys. Awesome. Awesome. So many. Incredible. Well, you can put your hands back down. Amazing. So proud of you guys. I want to give you an opportunity right here. We're going to just say a prayer. I'm just going to lead it. There's no formula. But if you believe in your heart, man, call upon the name of the Lord. Scripture says you will be saved. And I'm just telling you for today, right here, God is here. God is talking to some of you right now. I just feel the working of the Holy Spirit, man. I just feel it in this room. Thank you, God. Just say this after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my heart. My life belongs to you. Forgive me of my sins. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me and to raise from the dead for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for making it simple. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we, for about 15 to 20 seconds, just give God the greatest hand he deserves? There's a lot of people today. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Awesome.